Coast to Coast AM Archive. You're listening to the best of Art Bell. This program was originally broadcast October 30th, 1993. Art will be live tomorrow night for his annual Ghost to Ghost AM show.
If you're just tuning in, we are exploring areas that some would say we ought not. Ghosts, the paranormal, things that people have seen and heard. If you'd like to be part of it, pick up a telephone and join in. You're back on the air, sir.
Hi, thank you, Art. As I was saying, this house out in Marinwood, after all this activity started taking place in the house, I haven't had any sightings. You don't have to see something to be haunted. A lot of poltergeist activity, they don't see things. Mm-hmm. But electrical sockets burning out, doors getting slammed. Her father came out to the house. He is in construction, a contractor. Did some work on the sockets, and toasters would plug in, and then they'd burn out. One day, a woman friend of hers came over to pay her a visit. Comes into the house, has a small 3 or 4 year old child. The child says he sees a lady in the hallway.
Oh.
A little while later, he's playing in the hallway, door slams shut. The woman, the mother of the child, and the woman who owns the house, it takes them 20 minutes to get the door unstuck, at which point the mother becomes hysterical. The little kid is scared because the lady was, he had felt or thought he had seen the lady there. They finally did get the door unstuck. There was no reason for the door being stuck. Mother and child left the house, haven't been back since. Theory. You were talking about how a lot of these people get separated from their bodies. The Indians and a lot of people believe that people who are addicted to drugs or drink alcohol get separated from their spirit.
I've heard that.
Now, if somebody gets separated from their spirit because of drug abuse, or they weren't ready to leave because they've died a violent death, then I think if they don't, if there's that separation of body and spirit like that, or the Indians say it'll punch, drugs and alcohol will punch holes in your spirit. If you beat your spirit up or yourself up, you may wind up being grounded here.
Well, that would seem to happen, wouldn't it? Story after story after story.
And like I say, they looked into it, and they had found out that, yes, a woman had died there years earlier, and then later on they looked into it and discovered that, well, the cause of death was a heroin overdose. And this is one very angry spirit. Some people get in that house, and they're fine. Some people aren't, go in there and they aren't fine.
Well, if it does punch holes in the spirit, that's a big hole.
Yeah, they tried to get my girlfriend to babysit out there, house sit rather, and when she found out about the house, she didn't want to go. And so there's some sensible information for your listeners, too.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it, sir, and I appreciate the call. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Right. Bye. You ask yourself that question, would you go into a haunted house if you knew it was haunted, if the story was that it was haunted? And there were spirits lingering there. Would you go in? Top of the morning, you're on the air, Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Where are you calling from, please?
Hi, Art. Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City, yes.
Listen, sir, I'd like to interject a note of caution from the cultural mecca of all that is the United States.
All right.
First of all, with the death of Vincent Price, I want to say you made it into my top four American heroes, sir.
Oh, well, thank you.
All right. Anyway, listen, I had an experience with a Ouija board, and just a note that the, biblically, I don't know how you feel about Christianity, but the scriptures do tell us that that ghosts, the spirits of the dead do not come back to haunt the living. In fact, they're demons taking manifestations in order to fool the relatives of those that have already passed on. So
how then, if that's the case, do you account for some of the stories like we've heard this morning, the lady with the car and no brakes, spirits that seem to be those of departed loved ones that are here to help?
Well, a lot of times, you don't have the full stories. A lot of these spirits may be, intending to appear as benevolent, when in fact the intentions may be very malign. I that's not what I wanted to talk about. I want to give you my own experience very quickly.
Sure.
What I was doing is I was playing with a Ouija board alone, long, long time ago.
Bad idea.
And I began having an argument with the planchette. Well, I thought, this is nonsense. This is my own energy. There's nothing in this. And at one point, every time that I would push the planchette to the S, the phone would ring. And so I asked the, you know, I asked the board if it were in fact ringing the phone, and it moves to the yes position. Well, I ran across the room to answer the phone. The phone kept ringing, and there was this, it was a crackling line. It sounded, the voice was distant, miles away, ancient voice, and it says, "You shall," and I didn't have the guts to listen to it. I hung the phone up. And for the next 7 years, this phenomena have been happening in my life. For example, I'll pass by cars.
Haven't you forevermore, if I can stop you, wondered, you shall what?
I don't know.
How could you hang up?
I really did not want to know. I didn't want to hear what it was going to say.
Okay.
But it is a warning. Don't, I've had an aversion to the paraphernalia of the occult ever since. And I think, you know, there is...
I have a lot of respect for Ouija boards. I've had an experience with one myself, and I won't even talk about it.
Well, as I said, it may answer your question of whether or not you would spin around and see what it was there that was manifesting itself, or going to a haunted house. I've done it since the experience, but in every case, I've rooted.
I appreciate your call, sir.
Certainly. Have a good morning.
All right. That's Salt Lake City with a caution, and a well-given caution it was, too, I might add. Well, given caution, you be careful. There are lots of things out there that we don't understand. And I think the possibility exists that a Ouija board is just inviting trouble. Line 3, you're on the air.
Hi, Art. How are you doing?
Fine, sir. Welcome to the program.
Real good show tonight.
Thank you.
Say, I have a question. That caller that called last hour about the glowing gravestone?
Yes.
There's a phenomenon called St. Elmo's Fire.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But St. Elmo's Fire tends not to return predictably to the same place again and again.
Yeah. During a...
Not saying it wasn't. I'm just saying that on many occasions, the caller said he saw this glowing gravestone and that it would be St. Elmo's Fire... That many times is not probable.
That's true, but that'd be something you really would want to see once, and I think that'd be about it.
That'd do me.
Yeah. Well, take it easy.
All right. Thank you. Just wanted to suggest that possibility, I guess. Hi, on the first time caller line, you're on the air.
Yeah. Hi.
Where are you, sir?
I'm in Alaska.
Alaska. All right.
I was in the United States Marine Corps, and I was a sniper. And I was I went to Grenada, and I got hit in the knee with a bullet. And from pictures in the family, it was my great-great-grandfather in a Civil War uniform that sat down and froze my leg. And the Grenada is a jungle, and he said, "Everything will be okay, boy. Everything will be okay." And this first time I've talked about it, other than to the military psychologist, and...
All right, if you don't mind, I want to be sure I understand. You were part of the invasion force. You were a sniper. You were in Grenada.
Yeah, my job was to make sure none of the Cubans got into the students at the university.
Uh-huh. And so you were stationed there, and you were just going to take them out if you had to.
Yes.
And
an anti-sniper... got me. My A gunner ended up getting him.
Hit you in the leg?
Yeah, in the knee.
Oh God.
Bullet went from the knee at the end of my military career. Went from the knee up around the pelvis bone and out the other ankle. The bullet traveled my whole.
What a horrible injury.
Yeah, it hurt. Very much so.
And so you were laying there?
Yeah, I instantly fell. There was nothing I could do. And like I say, through pictures of the family photo album, it was he was in the Civil War, and it'd be three great grandfathers sat down and froze my leg. My leg was frozen, not cauterized, it was frozen.
Frozen.
The whole wound, which is something nobody's been able to explain. And he said, "Everything will be okay now, boy. Everything will be okay."
And left?
Yeah.
God, that's eerie. What did the medics say?
Medics, they were just asking me what we'd done, how we'd done this, where did we get ice. Nobody could understand. The psychologist told me that it was in the lust of battle, and that I'd lost a lot of blood, and that I wasn't sure what was happening. But my spotter, who is also a sniper, he felt something cold as he was taking the other man out, and he has shot before. It wasn't, you know, it's not the coldness you feel when you take a man out.
I understand.
It was completely different, and, you know, I was scared, but at the same time, there was this great feeling of security and just the joy of knowing that I had a family member there, because I really thought that I'd, you know, the pain that I was feeling, I knew where the bullet went out. I didn't know what the damages were.
That's the most incredible story I've ever heard, and I really appreciate your call, sir. Thank you. Wow. For that one, I'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.